Welcome to today's morning show on WRCO Radio. Great to have in the studio from the Richland Hospital, Lindsay Carlson, Grace Denman here to talk about National Nutrition Month. It's a very topical subject. We should be talking about all 12 years, Grace, but especially during the month of March, it sounds like.
Yes. So on the month of March, the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics always claims that as our National Nutrition Month, and they have a theme going every year that kind of just gives it a more broader spectrum. Of course, we should be considering our nutrition all 12 months of the year, but I think that March is a great time to kind of revisit it. In January, we all have these ideas that we're going to be healthy ourselves. And so it's kind of nice that in March, when maybe we're falling off the wagon a little bit, that we can get a reminder.
Yeah, a lot of those New Year's resolutions, we're lucky if we last through the month of January, right?
Correct.
But it's never too late to start a new resolution, right?
No, it's never too late. And when we're thinking of those resolutions, the reason we're not lasting through the month of January is that we're mostly setting too large of goals. So kind of maybe if you did set some small attainable goals at first, that we're revisiting those goals and saying, hey, are you meeting them? And maybe we set new small attainable goals.
I blame Super Bowl parties. That's I mean, how can you turn down all the snacks, right?
Certainly. But there's time for play, and there's also time to make sure that we're following our nutrition plan.
Everything in moderation, right?
Yes, correct.
That's the way it works. Lindsay, could you talk about the theme of this year's month then?
Yes, of course. The theme that the Academy chose for this year is called Beyond the Table. And there's a different couple of perspectives to look at that. And they also present with topics, kind of subtopics regarding that theme. And so Beyond the Table allows us to think about anything that isn't your ordinary sit down with a plate in front of you, maybe with family. It's challenging us to think again beyond the table. What are we eating on the go? Thinking about how our food choices affect the environment, thinking about what we're choosing maybe in the grocery store, or how we can also help out our farmers and our community with local produce, or maybe even exploring the idea of gardening ourselves. So just lots of different ways that stray away from the typical plated meal at a dinner table.
There are a lot of farmers market opportunities almost now year round, aren't there?
Yep. In the wintertime, some areas have chosen to do sort of an indoor farmers market. Maybe it's not weekly, but it still provides an opportunity for those to still get some fresher produce or some type of produce throughout all seasons. But otherwise, I know that throughout spring, summer, and starting in early fall, there's some farmers markets that are available.
I am amazed. I saw some stats, Grace, about how much food we as Americans waste. It's just unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, there's some research out there that says basically we have enough food to feed everybody and there shouldn't be a hunger issue. It's just the whole distribution of it and how do we get it to the people who truly need it, but also how do we not waste the food? I'm sure every one of us can kind of picture driving past farmers' fields in the fall and seeing some of those rotting pumpkins and stuff and knowing that they just couldn't, they either didn't have the manpower, there weren't people purchasing it, and we just need to kind of be mindful of that, especially in our own homes, of how much produce we're throwing away in our own homes. I'm guilty of it too, throwing the produce in the produce drawer and forgetting that you even put it there because you're not opening the drawer often. So just kind of paying attention to that. Maybe we're not putting our produce in the produce drawer if we know that we'll forget it there, especially if you don't have the clear ones where you can see through them. Paying attention to what you purchase at the grocery store and then making a plan to make a meal with it. Maybe it's part of that meal planning where you're planning out to make sure you're using up what's in your fridge, checking over what's in your fridge every few days and rotating things that need to be eaten closer to the front so you see them and you're reminded that you need to eat them.
Those are all good tips. And I think maybe finding some recipes and thinking outside the box in terms of your leftovers, reusing, that's probably a key thing too, isn't it?
Yes, certainly. Especially those meat options, those are really easy to use in leftovers. But when then you think of your side dishes or your vegetables that you might have leftovers from, of how creative can you get if you did eat all of your protein from that one meal but didn't eat all the sides. Finding different ways to kind of make them. Maybe it's that you're throwing some leftover veggies in a soup and using that as a soup for the next few days, or you're throwing together just a stir fry with some of your leftovers that you found in your fridge.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about eating out. Now, we all love to do that. It's a real treat, Lindsay. You're not saying not do that. I'm guessing just make more meals at home is key, isn't it?
Right. That can definitely help keep money in your wallet. But like Grace said, you know, everything in moderation, especially when it comes to nutrition too. Eating out is, again, going beyond that home dining room table. And also can be a time to socialize with friends and catch up with family, to enjoy what restaurants have to offer, to support local businesses. So it's definitely something to cherish and something that can be a part of your life. Trying to still stick to nutrition plans is possible when eating out. Some tips include trying to go for those grilled protein options versus the crispy or the fried. Sometimes ordering sauces on the side, or trying to opt for more hydration versus sugary beverages. Things like that, ordering produce for sides. Again, you can certainly order the alternatives. However, if you are still looking to stick to those nutrition plans, it's definitely impossible at eating at restaurants. And it can work in anyone's budget and anyone's nutrition goals.
People probably don't know this, but you can actually get broccoli at Culver's instead of fries.
Did you
know
that? Yes, broccoli salad soups.
So there's certainly ways to do that. Certainly when you're making food too, and when you're cooking, you can kind of plan ahead that way. Maybe even freeze some things too, can't you?
Correct. Yeah, if you try to plan ahead before you go grocery shopping, maybe it's a matter of looking to see what you actually have first in the fridge and in the cabinets, and getting creative with utilizing those for meals. And then you can always kind of make double batches of things to make meal planning easier throughout the week on you, especially since life can get crazy during the week and weekends. And so throwing it in the freezer space, thawing it out in the fridge, having it extras in the pantries, just kind of being wary too of some food safety also when you're freezing things and rethawing things.
Yeah, no doubt. That's one of the things you got to watch for, but certainly that's a way to save money. And Grace, as we look at going to the grocery store, there are ways, coupons and things like that can save us too, aren't there?
Yeah, so always looking, a lot of grocery stores or places are going to have specials. So looking ahead at what are the specials this week? What can I save money on this week that I might want or need, and kind of stocking up on that. The other thing too is that when we're in the middle of the winter months, which it's not quite yet spring, it's given us a false spring, but knowing that the fresh foods that might be at Walmart are going to be a little bit pricier because they're being shipped across the country to where from where it was warmer, and those things are still growing. So the prices are going to go up. That being said, your frozen and your canned options are just perfectly fine in those time frames. And then just knowing what's in season, and that those fresh produce are going to be cheaper when they're in season. So the things that our farmers are able to grow and give to Walmart, then they're going to be cheaper. But the frozen and canned options, they get a bad reputation of being unhealthy, and they're truly not. We're just looking for those canned options that are going to have less sugar for the fruits and then the less sodium for the vegetables. But truly, you can drain them and rinse them and eliminate a lot of that too if you don't find those options.
Do you have to read labels? Because I guess I just assume that like the frozen fruit and things like that might have sugar added. Is that the case or not?
Typically, if it's just a frozen fruit, there's not sugar added, but if you want to watch out for if there's sauces or something like that that they add to it, specifically more like your vegetables, they might add seasonings and sauces to it to kind of make it an easier meal that you can just toss together, but those ones can have added sodium versus if you were to just get plain options.
People will say it's really expensive to eat healthy, but you're kind of saying that you can work around that, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I think a lot of the reputation of expensive to eat healthy comes from needing to eat fresh produce, the idea that you should shop the perimeter of the grocery store, which isn't always true because you find those frozen and canned options in the middle, and that we have to eat organic, and we don't truly have to eat organic. If you're not buying organic vegetables or fruit, just making sure you're washing up your fruit and vegetables to get those added pesticides off, they're going to be about the same nutrient content. It's studied over and over that they have similar nutrient contents. While the organic might have a tiny bit more, it's just not worth it for our pocketbooks right now. And those canned and frozen options are pretty cheap. And if you look for their deals, I mean, right now I just purchased some green beans from Walmart and they're $1 a pack. So if you stock up on those and kind of fill your freezer for the times when they're on sale, you can certainly save money.
Awesome. We all like our beverages though, Lindsay, and you know, so a lot of people will go for that energy drink or the coffee or whatever, and good old water is probably the best thing you can drink, isn't it?
Energy drinks are a hot commodity, and I know that Grace and I are coffee drinkers ourselves, so we, you know, having your cup of joe in the morning is no issue. It's just kind of monitoring, like you had mentioned, some food labels or what you're adding to beverages, whether it be those sugary creamers. Can we try some alternatives if you'd like, or maybe using less? Water should always be at the forefront of our minds. I'm trying to carry either a water bottle with you or making a couple of trips to the drinking fountain to stretch your legs at work too, is always important, and kind of keeping an eye out on your hydration.
Yeah, that coffee creamer tastes so good, but moderation, or look for some alternative.
And making sure that you're getting in enough caffeine, but not overdoing it to where your heart is racing.
Oh, yeah, you don't want that, do you? We're talking to registered dietitians here today, Grace Denman, Lindsay Carlson. So kind of explain, I guess, ladies, what you do at the hospital. Lindsay, could you kind of give us a little job description?
Yeah, I am the inpatient dietitian, which means I oversee the patients who get admitted into the hospital on our med-surg and ICU and birth center floors. And so I kind of take care of their nutritional needs if they were to have any. I will order their diets for them. So if they need some specialized diets, dependent on their diagnosis when they come in, whether it's a heart healthy one, low sodium, a diabetes managed diet, I will order them for them and also talk them through that education and what it means and how they can apply that for when they discharge back to home too.
What about you, Grace? Similar?
I will help Lindsay if she's off on PTO, because we do give her some time off. But otherwise, I'm mostly up in the fourth floor. I do outpatient counseling. My specialty is in the diabetes management realm, but I will also see patients who have chronic kidney disease, or if they have commercial insurance, they're also covered for other dietitian services, such as looking for guidance of weight loss or guidance for heart disease, fatty liver disease, and I will help them through finding a good plan for them and managing their condition through nutrition.
Okay. Lots of diets out there. You know, I guess the term fad diet comes to mind as well. There are some good ones and there are some bad ones. Can you give us an example of a good one?
So I would say that there's not really truly a good fad diet.
Oh.
A fad diet is just that. It is just a fad that is going to possibly help you lose weight in the short term. But long term, they've never been proven to help continue to keep that weight loss off. I'm sure we can all say that we've tried a diet out, we've lost weight, and then we stopped it and gained the weight right back. And that's just normal for our bodies to want to bounce back to where it was. Because when you lose weight at a quick rate, our bodies just want to kind of go back to where it was. It was comfortable where it was, so it's going to try and fight against us. Mm-hmm. The best diet that we can do is making sure that we are getting enough of each food group. So kind of using the plate method, where we kind of talk about where half your plate should be fruits and vegetables, a little bit more vegetables and fruit, especially if we are managing diabetes, then filling a little bit more of our plate with vegetables. We'd say half the plate of just total vegetables, just because the fruit can contribute to your blood sugars. A quarter of your plate being a carbohydrate option. Carbs get a bad reputation, but our brain and muscle cells really do want some carbohydrates. We just don't need a whole plate of mashed potatoes or spaghetti. And then a quarter of our plate being protein, because protein is going to help us build new cells and help us keep our muscle mass.
Are you guys conscientious when you're out? Somebody knows what you do and they're like, hey, look at her. She's got a plate full of spaghetti or something. You know, I mean, Lindsay, do you ever experience that?
We definitely sometimes get the old joke. So, oh, I thought you studied nutrition, or I thought you're a dietitian. But I think ultimately people like to see that even nutrition experts or those who go to school and help others with their nutrition can also enjoy foods in moderation, can enjoy not only eating healthy, but also enjoying some treats too. So seeing that balance within the realm of our profession is really helpful for us to kind of show by example too when we are helping with patients or with clients.
I've heard people say they'll call it a cheat day where, you know, eat really good and healthy all week, but then have like Saturday be the day where maybe they let their hair down, so to speak. Is that a good thing or not?
A cheat day, the wording of that may not be the best depending on how you actually treat that, but just knowing that you can give yourself some grace when it comes to unexpected plans with eating, or you decide to go out with your friends, and just kind of giving yourself that grace, that patience, that, hey, I can still stick to my nutrition goals tomorrow or the next day, and I haven't fallen off the bandwagon, like life's going to be okay, and just trying to forget the nutrition aspect maybe in that moment and enjoying life in that moment instead.
Sometimes there's a little guilt involved, isn't there, Grace, when somebody's like, oh man, I shouldn't have ate that, and then they kind of kick themselves for a while, don't they?
Yeah, there is a lot of guilt and emotion that revolves around food, and something that I cover with my patients is that we shouldn't have that guilt. And there's not good food and bad food. There's foods that we should eat more of and foods that we should limit. And if we do have more of those foods that we should limit in one day, that we just say, okay, that happened, and the next day it's going to be better. Wallowing in the guilt or kind of just sitting in that, it doesn't help us with trying to reach our goals. It doesn't help us with feeling good about where we are at. So just moving forward and just knowing that it's what's done is done, and you can do that every so often, and then just jump right back in the next day.
As far as meals, is it better to eat several times a day small meals, like six small meals, or is it better to have just the three squares like we all grew up with?
So there's some research that shows that this six small meals might help some populations with just keeping blood sugars managed, or just helping kind of keep that hunger cue right where they need it, where they're not starving, but they're also not getting themselves overly full. But truly the best answer is however it works best for you. Not all everyone's schedule will allow for them to have six small meals a day. And some people also, they don't need snacks. They just need good, well-balanced meals, and they're good with the three meals.
Okay. So when's the best time to walk after a meal? Is it best, Lindsay, if you eat and just go right out and start walking, or is it better to rest for 45 minutes before you do that exercise? What's your thought on that?
Well, I know they've always said wait 30 minutes before you swim after you right? eat, but I think that's just kind of an old saying. And if you feel comfortable after eating to go for a walk or to maybe do some light exercise, that's can be recommended and very well fitting, you know, just because now you have that energy from the food that you have, especially now with the nice weather that we're having. After lunchtime, getting a fresh breath of air can really help too.
Sure. Well, it probably helps with blood sugar levels, doesn't it?
Helps with blood sugar levels, helps with digestion, helps with a lot, you know, your lungs, your heart health, everything.
Mm-hmm. So it's a good thing to get out and do a little moving now that the weather's getting nicer as well. The theme for this year is Beyond the Table, National Nutrition Month going on here. So what are some other tips that you can give, Grace, in terms of meals and snacks and those kind of things?
Some of the the ideas that Lindsay kind of proposes that will be in our Facebook page coming up this month is kind of planning your meals and snacks around your work week. So kind of taking some time, maybe Saturday or Sunday, whenever you have a bit of time, and planning out what are you going to eat throughout the week? What ingredients do you have available? What are some things that you might need to use up in the next week that you can make a meal out of? And then kind of making sure that you have your healthy snacks packed so that when the hunger cravings kick in at work, that you have healthy snacks available to you. So just taking that bit of time can really help just with your nutrition in general for the next week, and also helping with you eating up your leftovers or produce that might need to be eaten in your fridge.
What are some good examples of healthy snacks we can take along, have in tow with us?
So thinking of things that are going to be sustainable and help you kind of stay full. So thinking of something that might have a bit of fiber, like some fruit is a good option, or some whole wheat crackers with some cheese. The other thing having in a healthy snack would be a good source of protein. Maybe it's a handful of nuts. Maybe it's some cheese. Maybe it is some yogurt with a bit of fruit on top or granola on top. Those are all we're looking at for healthy snacks, is that they would have a bit of fiber and or protein, and that they would give you more benefit with some vitamins and minerals.
What are some ideas that we have, you know, because if we like appetizers, I do, for instance. Do you have any ideas for healthy appetizers, Lindsay?
I think one of the popular things going off right now are charcuterie boards, and those can be healthy appetizers and also fun to make with friends too, because it encompasses your carbohydrates from, let's say, your crackers and your breads, but also your fats from your cheeses, some proteins in there if you're adding some of that fancy meat or in the cheese and in the dips. So that's always a good option. I know I'm on a salad kick right now with such beautiful weather outside. You're always kind of craving that texture and that freshness of a salad. So sitting down before the meal is finished and enjoying that salad can help kind of tie you over versus grabbing something out of the cupboard to snack on in the meantime. But just kind of getting creative, you know, an appetizer doesn't have to be your stereotypical kind of fried, quick, yummy foods. It can also be delicious, fresh fruits and vegetables, kind of dipping that in a dip or things like that.
I learned from Allison Dairyland, who was recently here, charcuterie board is, you have to have meat on it to make it. Otherwise, it's just a cheese board, I guess. That's what I heard.
Anyway. Right, which is probably also popular here in Wisconsin.
Right, it is. Got to have a little meat on there. So that sounds really good, though. And you make a whole meal out of that, basically, can't you?
Correct, yeah. Sometimes I've seen very extravagant charcuterie boards where it takes up the whole table, or you spend the whole night doing it with your family and friends. So it can be an event, really.
Lots of fun. Fun to talk food. We'll have more coming up on The Morning Show right after this time out. Welcome back to our morning show on WRCO Radio. Our guests in the studio, Grace Denman and Lindsay Carlson. Tell us a little bit, Grace, what does it take to do what you do as far as schooling and everything?
So at this point in time, in order to become a registered dietitian, you have to go through a bachelor program and a master's program. So within these programs, you'll also have to complete so many hours of an internship, which would mean that you're going to be partnered with a registered dietitian and kind of shadowing them, learning the ropes, learning how to calculate tube feeds and chart in the electronic health records, kind of get your first little feet wet and kind of know what your first job might look like. Once you've completed your master's degree and all of your internship hours, which sometimes the internship hours go over from your master's degree, then you can sit for a board's exam, just like nurses sit for a board's exam. And if you pass that exam, you'll become a registered dietitian for the United States. And then we would just apply from there to our state license.
Oh, okay. So every state has its own license then.
Correct.
In other words. Okay, that's interesting. So a lot of schooling, and then did you have to do your internship? Did you do that locally here, or did you do that somewhere else?
So the program I went through was through Viterbo University, and my internship hours were done at Hy-Vee in the east side of Madison when they had dietitians in each of their stores. It's just kind of a community rotation. So I gave grocery store tours and helped people shopping for their certain diseases and ailments. And we did cooking classes that people could sign up for and come and work in our kitchen. And then also we developed recipes for serving in the deli. And then my second rotation, the more clinical one, I did at Mercy Health in Janesville.
Okay. And what about you, Lindsay?
Well, I am from Michigan, so not originally from Wisconsin. Did not go to school here. I went down to Eastern Illinois University, and I completed both my bachelor's and master's down there. And what's great about the internships that we do is we do get a little bit of a taste of all the different careers that dietitians can go into and different populations that they can work with. Clinical is definitely heavily stressed in the internship, so you spend a majority of your 1,200 hours in that field. But yes, community is a great aspect. I worked a little bit with Meals on Wheels down in Illinois, which is awesome because those skills and that experience translate to here to helping my patients who may need those nutritional services within the community. I also worked lots with athletes, and the hospital is working with the surrounding schools to kind of build those sports nutrition programs to help the adolescents here. I also worked with wellness centers too, so there's different types of programs such as bariatric programs to help with weight loss, and it's kind of the nutrition for that is a little bit finicky and individualized, kind of the program that they have to go through. But other than that, within clinical, there's lots of disciplines to go through, whether it be renal or cardiac related, lots of experience with diabetes management, some with oncology. So it kind of encompasses a whole array. So you never get bored during that internship.
I would guess not. So for the both of you, were you in high school and said, I want to be a dietitian? I mean, or at what point in life did you figure that out?
Yeah, I had a sports dietitian of my own in eighth grade going into high school. Definitely helped me personally with some nutrition stuff I was going through, but also kind of helped create an awesome foundation of what nutrition can do for you, both in sport and in life. And she, aside from being an awesome dietitian, was such a great inspiration and person too. And I kind of said in eighth grade, I'm going to be a dietitian, and never looked back despite how hard schooling was sometimes. It was definitely worth a journey. And the questions that we get now and the people that we can help now, I think it's truly satisfying. And I know that this was the right career path.
What about you, Grace?
I always thought I wanted to be in the medical field, but I get woozy off of blood. So I knew that I couldn't do a whole lot. So then I pivoted and decided maybe I wanted to be an architect, and realized I did not like math that much. At that time, I was in high school, and I was taking some nutrition classes just to fill my schedule, and it was cooking classes, and then I was learning about the nutrition of the foods we were making. And I'd bring that stuff home and tell my family at the dinner table. My mom said, if you really like these food facts, why don't you look into being a dietitian? And so I started researching it more and more. And by my end of my junior year of high school, I was dead set that I was going to be a dietitian, and went full force right into the program that Viterbo has, which is where they help you find those internships.
It's awesome. And I'm guessing there's a lot of satisfaction when you see somebody that kind of changes their life under your direction. That's probably really a big hit for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it is always really nice to have the patients come back and tell us how we've helped improve their quality of life. I mean, I don't know a dietitian that went into this field not trying to help improve a quality of life of everyone's disease states and trying to help them feel better. We're all pretty empathetic, and we just are trying to make a difference and help people.
I know from our personal family, you know, for get-togethers, it isn't as easy as it used to be, because you have someone who has celiac disease, you have someone who's lactose intolerant, you know, all those things. I don't know that we had those all those years ago, Lindsay. Maybe we did. We just did. Maybe they weren't diagnosed. What's your thought on that?
Right. Especially now with people going throughout life, and you feel one symptom of something and maybe another symptom, and then you get down the rabbit hole of Googling things, and WebMD tells you have 7 different diagnoses and you're, how do I even, you know, start to begin this, especially if it could be nutrition related. So definitely kind of paying attention to your body and what you do eat and how you do feel afterwards, and kind of how it's affecting your life, can really help you hone in on, okay, how can I strategize my nutrition so it's actually helping me versus hurting me. Definitely talking to your doctor can help with that, to really narrow down a diagnosis, and kind of doesn't hurt to provide a diet recall, which is just kind of like a recording of what you eat and how you felt, or this is what's going on. And they can help lead you to a dietitian too, maybe a general one, or maybe one that specializes in that field and that disease state to kind of help you. But that doesn't mean that gluten-free foods aren't good. I think some are delicious. There's some dairy-free foods that are out there for lactose intolerant that are also delicious. There's a lot of recipes out there now that have these alternatives for different things that people may be going through. And it's just, you know, don't judge it until you try it.
You know, that's true. My sister-in-law made, it was a vegan red velvet cake. And I honestly think it may be the best cake I've ever had. So that's a good example. I went into it with this negative thought, like, yeah, that's going to taste like cardboard. And it was really good.
You couldn't taste the lack of egg or butter in there.
No, right? I couldn't. So you never know, right? So if you're going to invite friends over, ladies, do you have a go-to meal? Do you have something that you love to make? Favorite dish, maybe, Lindsay?
When we have get-togethers, I like to call dibs on the dessert because I enjoy baking. I'm probably a better baker than I am cook. Otherwise, I like to do some side dishes. For Thanksgiving, I got asked to do green bean casserole. I've never made a green bean casserole, and I don't like green bean casserole, but I said, by golly, let me try to make it from scratch. So that actually turned out very well, and I think it's going to be a tradition moving forward to kind of make that recipe.
Sounds good. But if you throw in tater tots, then it's probably not as healthy then, right?
But it probably tastes better. I'm a tot girl.
I like tater tot casserole myself. What about you, Grace?
When people come to our house, my husband loves to fire up his Traeger. So we typically have some sort of smoked meat. And
good
then
stuff.
Always served with a salad and vegetables. My husband will make fun of me that every time he's making dinner, I say, what vegetable are we having? But when I'm invited somewhere else that I have to bring a dish to pass, I'm normally assigned it because my family has decided they don't really want me to bring the things that I bring. I once tried to make green bean casserole a healthier version, and I thought it was delicious. It's made with almond milk, and I did my own crispy fried onions, and I was nixed on being able to bring that ever again. So.
Oh, man. Shot down. That's too bad.
Now I just follow the rules with what they tell me to bring.
Oh, man. And you know, we're getting into a really good season now because we're going to be looking at farmers markets coming up, probably opening in a little over a month. And that's an exciting time, isn't it?
Yeah, farmers markets are always really nice. One, you know that you're getting your food from a local area and that you're supporting local farmers, which we all like to know that we're supporting our community by buying that. And typically, it's a lot cheaper to go through the farmers markets than if you were to go through a grocery store, because they're also having to increase the price for the fact that they're not only paying the farmer for their services, but also the truckers that are bringing the foods around. And so it's just more direct. And going from farm to table, it's just going to give you a really fresh product as well.
Yeah, exciting time there. Do you like to go to farmers markets, Lindsay?
I love it, and we have one here in Richland Center on Wednesdays, I realize. I'm not sure when it starts or when it ends, but I went a couple of times during the summer. And not only is it tasty to eat their produce and baked goodies, but also it's nice to get to know these local farmers. And I've seen fruits and vegetables out there that I've never even heard of. And so I like to ask them kind of, what do you use this for? What is it called? How does it taste? So that I can kind of help create recipes out of that and learn something new from them too.
Wonderful. Anything else either one of you'd like to add today? It's been wonderful having you in here.
No, just check out the Richland Hospital and Clinic's Facebook page for a lot of topics that we'll be discussing throughout the month of March related to Beyond the Table and just healthy eating in general.
Great.
And if you're looking for any dietitian services outpatient-wise, Ty and I both do outpatient diabetes counseling, but we also will see any patients with chronic kidney disease, or if you have commercial insurance, your insurance will cover you for other services such as looking for weight management, or if you have any other health ailment that a nutrition expert can help you with.
Wonderful. It's been a joy having you in here, ladies.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks so much. You bet. Grace Denman and Lindsay Carlson from the Richland Hospital talking about National Nutrition Month on today's morning show.